You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool.
Ladies and gentlemen, that could be the lament of Western civilization this Saturday evening, June the 13th, 2020 is halfway over, and what a year it has been. For far too long, that has been the song of Western man. Silence is golden, but my eyes still see. Yes, we see. Yes, we know we are right. We have been proven right about everything, but silence is no longer golden. Ladies and gentlemen,
silence
you're seeing,
is no longer acceptable. Silence is broken now.
But that is a great song by the Tremolos.
Absolutely.
And was life better in the mid-60s when that was written, Keith?
Oh, I've shown you my sister's annual from Whitehaven High School in 1965. I defy anybody to look at it and tell me that we have a better civilization now than we had then.
Well, civilization itself is absolutely crumbling. It has now gotten literally to the point where policing itself may be illegal. Ladies and gentlemen, our comprehensive discussion about the insurrection, the riots, and their greater ramifications will continue this evening with our good friend making monthly appearances now, Mark Weber, the director of the Institute for Historical Review. Mark is going to join us in the second hour, and he'll explain why the recent violence and looting was more than predictable and what we should expect in the future. Look forward to Mark's take on all of this unrest. I think we gave it a good go last week, Keith. 3 full hours chock full of commentary, opinion, analysis. We also had Jim Lancia join us to provide that from the perspective of a former law enforcement officer, former retired police officer, Jim Lancia. And we will do it again. And there is no shortage of content. I guess we'll start with this. We've got so much to cover, including the new micronation of Chaz, a new independent nation that has been set up on 6 square blocks of conquered territory in downtown Seattle, where the Black Lives Matter and terrorists have run a police station out of the area that they now claim to be sovereign territory.
Well, Black Lives Matter and Antifa, between the two of them, will turn Chaz into a virtual reproduction of Chad, the nation in Africa.
We're going to talk more about that with Mark Weber, so I don't want to really get into it yet, but that's something that will be forthcoming. We have seen, of course, not just across the country, but around the world now, city after city go up in flames, countless incidents of looting, of arson, and I guess most importantly in 2020, throngs of thousands upon thousands of people not practicing social distancing. Don't you know that the coronavirus is supposed to be the biggest threat to mankind, but not a word of it has been spoken after you see all of these people packed on top of each other, engaging in any numerous forms of criminality. But today we finally heard about the coronavirus again. Yes, you know, over in London, Keith, we talked about this last week. In London, they are now tearing down statues. Really, they are tearing down statues to any white man who lived prior to 1965.
We predicted this from the very beginning, and that's exactly what's happened.
Well, to get to the point, including people who were certainly no friends of their own race, Winston Churchill and Abraham Lincoln, but some people in London were going to defend the statues there that have been desecrated and taken down and pulled down, including those of Churchill and Lincoln. And we finally heard a headline about COVID again. Yes. From Time Magazine, the headline reads, Hundreds of far-right protesters defy COVID-19 restrictions to demonstrate in London. Now, all over the world, you have had literal terrorists, Antifa and BLM, looting, arson, you name it, destruction, the likes of which we haven't seen in this country, maybe 68, but not a word about it. But when just a few dozen people in London, law-abiding citizens go to try to protect the monuments to Churchill and others, there you get the headline. Hundreds of far-right protesters, far-right, defy COVID-19 restrictions.
Yeah, what was it? Ku Klux Klan is on the march in London, apparently. That's a
Well, you know, and another thing that happened in London this week, we were talking, yes, they're not protesters, they're criminals at best. I mean, I think you could go so far as insurrectionists or terrorists, but Keith, we were talking, I was emailing with Adrian Davis this week about another thing. We have finally heard law enforcement take action on terrorism. Yes, also in London, convictions were handed down. Sentencing has not yet occurred, but convictions have been handed down on 3 20-year-olds who have been convicted of terrorism for passing out flyers that said things that defy modern-day political
rules. That sounds an awful lot like the lawful exercise of your First Amendment rights. But, of course, they don't have the First Amendment in England, and they're letting us know that. And you're kidding me. Winston Churchill, the darling of Jews everywhere, is now... he's in the same category as Nathan Bedford Forrest as a dead white male, and therefore any memory of him has to be excised from the public record.
Well, it's just this is where we're at. When your enemy owns both sides, they own the radical opposition, they own the media, they own everything. All of this anarchy, not a word about social distancing until a handful of British folks go out to defend the monuments that are there being illegally toppled, then you hear about it. Not a word about terrorism in light of all the terrorist actions that have been taking place across the world in the last month, but now we get convictions for terrorism from kids passing out flyers.
Well, I can't wait until I get the new Guardian article on Monday about Winston Churchill was a Klansman.
They're certainly out saying he was a white supremacist and a racist and everything else. So, you know, the fruits of his labor and his life have certainly come to bear. But another thing that is happening is you can't have graduations, right? You can't have high school graduations, but you can have protests. This actually appeared. This was actually released. We may have mentioned this last week, but I don't think we actually read the text. And if we did, it ain't going to hurt you to hear it again. Yes. Health experts support anti-police protest. This looks like it would have been written by someone, a character in 1984. This is what a joint statement from so-called public health experts. As public health advocates, we do not condemn these gatherings as risky for COVID-19 transmission, talking about the riots. This should not be confused with the permissive stance on all gatherings, particularly protest against stay-at-home orders. So they're saying this is the wokest virus that has ever existed. It actually can pick and choose who it affects. It will not infect someone if they're out protesting or rioting or committing vandalism or arson in the name of George Floyd, but it will get you if you try to go to a high school graduation, if you go to church.
Like George Orwell said, all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others.
That was actually released by cooperative of the top medical experts, so-called, in this country. We'll be back.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com. Or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine. The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Talking is cheap. People follow like sheep. Even though there is nowhere to go.
Talking is cheap, people follow like sheep, and isn't that the truth? So much deceit in this world today, so much hatred of white people, and make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen, that is the animating factor in what you're seeing take place. They are not marching for equal equality under the law. They already have it. They're not marching because of mistreatment, widespread mistreatment by the police. It does not exist. They are marching because of an unadulterated hatred of why it's so pure, it would blot out the sun.
It's jealousy and envy on a level never before imagined. Absolutely. In human history. And it is being fomented, the scab is being picked off the wound by the left, who in cultural Marxism decided back in the 30s that Marx and Engels are wrong. The true dividing line in human society is not economic class, not the proletariat versus the bourgeoisie. It's not even religion. It's race. That's what you build a successful Marxist revolution on, according to the cultural Marxists. And guess what? That's exactly the script that you're seeing played out in society in Western Europe, in Europe generally, in the Anglosphere, and particularly in the United States of America.
And how disconnected from reality is all of this? Well, I've got an example for you. Over the weekend, NBA players have now begun revolting against the racism of white owners and fans paying them millions of dollars a year to play a kid's game. Listen to this. Now they're saying they may not return to the league when the games resume in July. And here's the reason, though. The reason is they say black players being sequestered to entertain and ease the league's economic burden amid racial tension is bad optics. This is how privileged black people are. They are so privileged, they think that being paid millions of dollars to play a sport is actually slavery.
This is, well, what they need to have is like the old Negro Major League Baseball teams, you know, like the Memphis Red Sox and groups like that, the Kansas City Monarchs. Imagine how their incomes would fall if they weren't entertaining white people. Quite frankly, I say go for it. This is exactly what we need. If the COVID-19 epidemic destroys the NBA and the NFL and even Division I basketball and football, I would say good riddance to bad rubbish, as my English mother used to say.
Well, that was a trivial story compared to the one that I'm about to share with you. And what I'm about to share with you is absolutely heartbreaking to me on a personal level. When I look and see, I wish we were a television show right now instead of a radio program, because you really need to see the face of this man. It is absolutely, absolutely tragic what happened. A listener of the Political Cesspool emailed me this story, and we were able to put it up on Twitter. And from there, Peter Brimelow got it from us and put a story up by Paul Kersey on VDare and also on UNS.com. And so we're very thankful we were able to get this story out, and I'm thankful to Peter and to Paul Kersey for helping to.
And as usual, who breaks stories like this? The Political Cesspool.
What happened was a 77-year-old white deputy, sheriff's deputy, in Simpson County, Mississippi, just a little bit south.
That's McGee, Mississippi, folks. That's the county seat of Simpson County.
And that's just south of Jackson, Mississippi. And a 77-year-old white deputy was murdered last night. His name was James Blair, and he was still working, even though he was 77 years old, to support his grandchildren, whose mother had passed away. And he was murdered by a black suspect who was last seen in boxer shorts and shirtless. He was transporting this suspect when it appears as though the suspect was able to get a gun. It doesn't say which gun, perhaps the gun of the deputy, shot him, and at last check, the suspect was still at large. So here you have the exact inverse of what happened in Minneapolis. You have a garden variety thug who murdered, shot to death, a 77-year-old white man, James Blair. Say his name, James Blair. Justice for James Blair. Working nearly at 80 years of age to provide for his grandchildren. And I look at his picture, and it absolutely breaks my heart. Go to my Twitter, at James Edwards TPC. Keith, could you please describe this man? I mean, this looks like the kind of guy that we are so used to seeing in the South. A paragon of virtue, a hardworking man, a God-fearing man. I don't know James Blair, but I can look at a guy, and I can tell you this is the kind of man he was. God bless you, Mr. Blair, and may you rest in peace. I am sorry that this happened to you. I am sorry that we live in a nation that excuses this criminality.
In fact, ignores it. This man looks like the salt of the earth. He's from Simpson County. My best friend in law school named John Carter was from McGee, Mississippi, which is the county seat of Simpson County. A really nice community down there. But, again, who are the criminals down there? Take a guess. Well, this fellow that shot him, see, this is what happens. You know, look at this on one side of the prism, and also on the other side, look at George Floyd. When you arrest a big person who doesn't want to be arrested, and most black suspects don't want to be arrested, why? They don't want to be arrested because they have bench warrants and other unserved warrants outstanding against them very often. So the type of because of the computerization of law enforcement, blue crush things and whatnot, now they can tell in an instant if the guy has outstanding warrants against him. Many of these people do, and as a result, they go to jail, where if you stop a regular law-abiding citizen, they're going to, you know, get a ticket, show up in court, pay a fine or something like that. But that's not the way of it with a large portion of the black community. And because of that, they resist arrest. And when you get somebody like George Floyd, who's 6 foot six and around 250 pounds, he'd already broken out of the squad car. They put him in one time and he got out. And that's why the guy that has been thrown under the bus by the establishment from President Trump on down, what's his name now?
Derek Chauvin.
Derek Chauvin is being thrown under the bus. But look what happens when you get them in the car. This is why Derek Chauvin had his knee on the guy's neck for a while, and he wasn't up there beating his head and trying to kill him.
And we know from the autopsy that he died because he was hopped up on so many drugs.
Fentanyl.
It was amazing he was able to
Fentanyl
walk.
Is supposedly the deadly scourge of all sorts of people that use it now, and that's what he was on primarily. Well, but what
compare
happened
that
with,
to what happened in Simpson County. I want to say his name, James Blair, 77-year-old man, sheriff's deputy, still working to provide a living for his grandchildren, gunned down by a black felon who was being
shot in the head. Now, George Floyd was not shot in the head. Now, why aren't white people out on the street protesting James Blair's murder? Much more heinous than George Floyd's. But we live in an upside-down world,
absolutely,
ladies and gentlemen.
Absolutely, the suspect intended to kill this man. And this man, I tell you, he looks like the epitome
of a black thug.
No. Well, yes, but no, I'm talking about...
I'm talking about that. I'm looking at the criminal
that's
on one
right.
side, and then...
Well, the officer looked like the epitome of a good, kind-hearted Southern man. We'll be right back.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The chief of police in Atlanta has now resigned after another case in which an African-American man was killed by officers during a scuffle. They said Rashard Brooks was shot while police were performing a field sobriety test. According to officials, he grabbed an officer's taser and pointed it at them as he ran away. Mick Reynolds is director of the Georgia Bureau of Investigations.
We intend on making that video available to you and to the public today, so you all will have it and we'll see it.
Atlanta police were called to a Wendy's restaurant on a complaint that a man was sleeping in a car and blocking the drive-through lane. Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lansbottom.
I do not believe that this was a justified use of deadly force and have called for the immediate termination of the officer.
This is USA Radio News.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I like the product very much. I wake up in the morning, I'm wide awake, and I'm raring to go. I'm almost 76, and I'm working two different property management companies 6 days a week, and I was really, really dragging. I mean, I could barely get myself to work. And it all culminated when I started taking Balance of Nature. It didn't happen right away. I had to take it for a little while. And all of a sudden, I just made a mental note, hey, I'm feeling better. And I am, so I really like this product.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
Hundreds of residents were forced to flee northern parts of Tucson, Arizona, with very little notice as the Bighorn Fire raged near the Catalina foothills. Forecasters said a dangerous combination of weather conditions will keep the threat high for fires like Bighorn to spread further and for new fires to ignite. Arizona has the largest concentration of ongoing wildfires across the southwestern U.S., according to the National Wildfire Coordination Group. Other notable fires across the southwest include the Elizabeth Fire and the Lime Fire, both burning in Ventura County. The Lime Fire is the bigger of the two, with the mandatory evacuations in place, according to CAL FIRE. Meteorologists say additional fire threats should happen through next week. President Trump has chosen to delay his rally in Oklahoma by one day. He says he wants to respect a holiday called Juneteenth, which is important to Black Americans. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Beautiful song from a better time. Silence is not golden any longer, though, but thank God our eyes can still see. I have to say one more time how incredibly saddened I am about the death of this 77-year-old deputy in Mississippi. I guess I have to, and thank you, Sam. Sam Bushman retweeted that. If it wasn't for the political cesspool, this made an itty-bitty, teeny-weeny blip on the local news in Simpson County, Mississippi. And thankfully, a listener of TPC sent it to me. We were able to get it out. And from there, Sam Bushman, Peter Brimelow, others have very graciously helped spread the word of this. And it's not about spreading the word necessarily, but this man truly is. I mean, the reason we want to spread the word isn't to necessarily make a political point out of a tragedy, like our enemies certainly do. But to remember this man, to remember a loss, a tragic loss of life. I grew up with men who looked like this, and you can, believe me, you can judge a book by its cover. You can look at Antifa and tell it is pure trash and evil. And you can look at it like a man like this, and it looks like the people I grew up with. It looks like my grandparents. I guarantee you if I'd have met this man, we would have found a common bond.
Well, Mr. Blair needs to be the focal point of a white movement, a white Gentile movement, like the George Floyd movement. People need to go out.
Because this, I tell you, is far more common than what we have seen civilization burn for this week.
We're seeing civilization burned in America and overseas over one of nine people, black males, that were unarmed and killed by the police in the United States last year. More black men were killed by limbs falling from trees last year than by policemen when they're unarmed.
I am waiting for the Southern Baptist Convention to issue a statement condemning the murder of Deputy James Blair.
He's probably a Southern Baptist.
It would not surprise me at all. I was about to say that. I know the SBC would have immediately responded had the deceased been a petty black criminal, and I know that because that's exactly what they did with George Floyd. They immediately, Steve Gaines, J.D. Greer, Russell Moore, Al Mohler,
Dwight McKissick,
immediately condemned that white cop as being a racist just because he was white. They called it murder, even though I think the facts are going to exonerate him, but not a word from the Southern Baptist.
And you know what,
James Blair
and the Southern Baptist Church, the trouble with these social justice warriors in charge at the SBC denomination is the same as the social justice warriors that are in charge of every major denomination in the United States of America today and in Europe. They basically are violating one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet. God has given them a white flock to tend, and they don't like that. They covet a black flock to tend. But guess what? If the blacks got in there, the first thing they do is fire the whole lot of them. These people are either fools or they are communist, Marxist operatives. They're probably on the payroll, like certain people that we've just named, of George Soros. George Soros not only funds Russell Moore, or an organization that he was a member of, they also fund Black Lives Matter and Antifa. And George Soros is no Southern Baptist, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, the Southern Baptists did issue something this week. They sent on they sent out a press release to the Washington Post. J.D. Greer, the new president, he's a year into his term.
Groovy Greer.
Of the Southern Baptist Convention. They sent out a press release to the Washington Post. Was it anything celebrating the life of James Blair or calling for the condemnation of his killer? No, no, no. No, it wasn't that. The Southern Baptist Convention now wants to retire the gavel named for its founder. The founder of the Southern Baptist Convention, of course, was sympathetic to the Confederacy. And they want to retire that gavel and rename it for a obscure, probably non-existent black female missionary in the past of the Southern Baptist Convention. So that's what they're focusing on and talking about this week. And let me tell you something. The founders of the Southern Baptist Convention will still be in heaven looking down on J.D. Greer, Russell Moore, and Dwight McKissick long after they've gone to hell.
Yes, and just imagine what they need to retire is not the gavel of the founder of the Southern Baptist denomination. They need to retire Greer, Russell Moore, Dwight McKissick, Al Mohler, and the whole sorry collection of social justice warriors that have snuck in a la the long march through the institutions at primary strategy of cultural Marxism into positions of power at the Southern Baptist denomination.
Well, you, speaking of police officers, and we salute you, Deputy Blair. May you rest in peace. May you long reign with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
You're in the arms of Father Abraham now, just like Lazarus.
But speaking of police, the whole scheme of defunding the police, that went from wild idea to something they are actually going to do. They have now voted with a veto-proof majority to abolish the police in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And you wonder, what will that look like? What will it look like to have a city without a police force? Well, there is one city in the United States that has already done it. Camden, New Jersey. What was the famous... what do we know about Camden, Keith, and what do we know about Camden, a famous quote?
Camden, New Jersey was the first major American city to elect a black mayor in 1969. It's kind of in the Philadelphia area. It's on the other side of the river from Philadelphia, I think. And at the time, I remember this very vividly as I was a senior in high school at the time. I remember the mayor of Camden, New Jersey saying, "I don't know where America's going, but Camden's going to get there first." Bingo, Mayor. You knew exactly what was happening. And here we are. Camden is still leading the pack of hellhounds headed to hell.
What is Camden known for now?
It's known for not having a ballet, not having a public library system. They're known for now disbanding their police department.
What has that caused? A spike of?
A spike of empty, derelict buildings and crime and poverty unknown before. Back in the bad old days of racial segregation, Camden was doing quite well, thank you. Now, after the triumph of liberalism and integration, Camden is what looks like Dresden after the bombers flew over in World War II. I mean, Detroit and Camden show what happens when the left has their way, when the racial aspect of cultural Marxism triumphs and they keep picking the scab off of racial problems to the point that they've driven out not only white people, but all the decent black people. So consequently, it's a hellhole. And that's what they have in store for all of America.
Well, and you know, and you mentioned Dresden. It just goes to show diversity is more potent and more destructive than a nuclear bomb or an atomic bomb. You look at the firebombing that they did in Dresden, the nuclear bombing they did to Japan. Those nations, those first world nations, recovered. But cities that have been blessed with diversity are unable to recover. They cannot recover.
I forget who had it, but there was a picture of Detroit in 1945, Hiroshima after the bomb dropped in 45, and then a picture several years ago of Detroit today and Hiroshima today, and they said, by the way, who won that war?
Yeah, well, it wasn't us, I can tell you, and it wasn't the United States, and it wasn't Western Man, it wasn't Germany. We all lost that war.
That difference, quite frankly, is a difference made by Jewish power and influence. Jews are not a big factor over in Japan.
Well, I want to thank again, just very quickly, and forgive me, ladies and gentlemen, for making this so personal and for going back to something two or three times in an hour, but I want to thank again Peter Brimelow, Sam Bushman, Paul Kersey, and everyone else who has retweeted our spotlight on the murder of Deputy James Blair in Mississippi. It is the exact 180 polar opposite inverted picture of what happened in Minnesota, and you will not hear his name. You would have not heard his name if not for us.
This is all the news that's not fit to print in the eyes of the leftists that are in charge of our news media today.
We'll be right back with more, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no way.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. defendapatriot.com.
Recent studies show that parents who smoke in the home are more likely to have children who smoke.
Yes, in fact, my brother, he's 22 now, he told me and my father that's why he started smoking. One of the reasons why he started smoking is because my dad was around, you know, and they saw my dad smoking. My dad said, okay, I don't want you to smoke. I don't want you to, you know, watch what I'm doing.
Recent studies also show that in homes where parents don't smoke, their children usually don't smoke either.
I am the way I am because my grandparents taught me what not to do. They gave me morals. They gave me belief. They gave me something to believe in. They just taught me well. I love them. I do.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I'm actually a little bit sad we don't have any more clips of Silence is Golden to play. We played the whole song over the course of the last three segments. Maybe you could sing it for us.
No, I'm not going to do that, but I can tell you what, the Tremolos are a great group. And they're a group that I think is underappreciated by the connoisseurs.
But I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something that you may not know. That song was written by Bob Gaudio, founding member of the Four Seasons, who originally recorded it. That was actually the more famous version of "Silence Is Golden." Was actually a what's the word? A cover by the Tremolos. Anyway.
Well, everything good came from the Four Seasons sooner or later, right?
That's right. anyway, okay, so want to give a big shout-out to one of our super listeners and supporters on Twitter. He goes by the handle White People Rock, and he is one of our regular contributors. He has already, if you can believe it now, we've been on the air 48 minutes. He has already taken the segments that we were talking about, Deputy Blair, ripped it, cut it, and posted it to YouTube. Now, that's how fast TPC Nation can act. And I want to thank him. I know this guy. He is, like I said, a lot. Actually, he sent in this very, I believe it was him who sent in this very card that I'm holding in my hand. We have gotten a lot of good mail this week. You want a little bit of good news? Can we do a good? Now, I know this is going to be a departure from what we've been doing last week and so far tonight, but can you take a five-minute break for good news before we get to Mark Weber in the next hour?
I'll do it.
Now, when we get with Mark Weber, the director of the Institute for Historical Review, he will be with us for the full second hour. We're going to be talking about Chaz, the independent nation of Chaz, and so much more. But first, let's go to the mailbag. This is what Micah in Maryland writes. James, the TPC gang, here's my June fundraising response. Please ignore the Yankee flag. I need to find some Southern letters to send. But to some, it invokes disgust, but to me, it does not. This is definitely not Buchanan's America, that's for sure. I heard number three is on the way. Congrats. Well, thank you, Micah, for that. Yes, our third child is on the way, cooking right now, due
in the oven.
October. I really like this. Keith, you're going to like this. Dear James and Keith, great job on Confederate History Month. Thanks for introducing me to Dissident Mama and the Barnes Review. Also, it made my heart well to know that Jack Ryan has not turned into Bush Stew. Yes, Jack is back in Chicago. All of his fans can rest easy. I did get a chance to watch Santa Fe Trail while recovering from surgery. Keith was right. It's a good movie. Y'all have been bringing in some great guests. Might I suggest, and he gives us a suggestion, which we're definitely going to follow up on. And then he encloses a contribution in honor of his Confederate ancestor. Let's say his name, Sergeant Jefferson Ryder of the 7th Missouri Cavalry and all of his brethren. So thank you so much, Jay in Texas. Jay in Texas, we salute you and your Confederate ancestor. And thanks for sending in a contribution in his name. But did you know, Keith, that was not the only listener of TBC who sent in a contribution in the name of their Confederate ancestors? First of all, what other show in the world would have its listeners send in contributions in the name of their Confederate ancestors? I am so proud of that. We have cultivated something very, very special here.
We are unapologetically Southern in our outlook and Christian.
Well, Stuart right here in our local area writes, I thank you and everyone at TPC for your steadfast defense of Dixie and our moral culture and values. I've learned so much through TPC. I know maintaining the show is expensive and time-consuming and a labor of love. It is understood that you need donations to keep the show afloat. So, in honor of the expected newborn to the Edwards family, your birthday, and that's right, I turn 40 next week, Keith.
Oh, my gosh.
Dinner's on you next week, buddy.
Well, I'll take you. I'll tell you. We need to go out down into Mississippi somewhere.
Oh, my God. Well, if that's the fastest place we can get a free meal. Let's see. So in honor of the expected newborn to the Edwards family, your birthday, and my great-great-great-grandfather, James Bennett, and his brothers, Andrew Jackson, William Washington Merritt, and Joe Barry, for their service to the Southern cause, I make a donation. That comes from Stuart. Stuart, thank you so much for your contribution, and we salute your Confederate ancestors as well. as do we, the Confederate ancestors of Allen down in Florida. He writes, "Dear Mr. Edwards, I enclose my second quarter contribution immediately after reading your compelling," it was actually my wife who wrote it, "your wife's compelling fundraising announcement for the second quarter. We sent that out to all of our loyal donors a few days ago. My compliments to you, Mr. Alexander, and all of the guests for the excellent content on the political cesspool. Keith, we have built something together with Sam Bushman and, of course, all of the people who have ever been a part of this show, Winston Smith, Bill Rowland, Eddie Miller. I mean, it really goes back to the very beginning. And I am proud of the legacy, and I am so proud of our audience, and I salute every member of our audience who has sent in support this month so far, our second quarter fundraising drive, which will go, of course, until June 30th. And we particularly salute the Confederate ancestors of our listening audience, so many of whom have been mentioned to us in letters and emails and correspondence over the last few days.
Alan even drew a picture of the rebel flag.
Well, you're holding, yes, you see it. Now, you see this handwritten on some notebook paper. We like it old school, don't we, Keith?
That's right. I tell you what, these people, be old school. Don't be a fool, one of these modern fools. Don't be out there with Black Lives Matter and Antifa.
Or the Southern Baptist Convention.
What you need to do is get on the side of your race, okay? And if you're not white...
Or your family, yeah. Which, you know, yeah, you say race. I mean, race is our extended family. We want to be on the side. Listen, there are so many white people out there. We've seen them in the streets. They hate themselves. They hate their parents. They hate their grandparents. And I guarantee you their ancestors were better men and women than them by every standard of measurement. Do not forsake God. Do not forsake your patrimony. Do not forsake your ancestors.
And don't forsake your children and grandchildren.
Our races are extended family.
You've got to protect them against the poison that they're imbibing every day if they're going to either a private school or a public school in America today, because the same colleges.
Well, you meant it, I think you meant it oppositely.
No, I mean both. Because, see, the teachers at both the private and the public schools now very often come from the same colleges of education and receive the same Marxist indoctrination.
Well, you know, I like to remind everyone as often as I can, especially all of the reporters who tune into our show every week, that I did go to Briarcrest Christian School, where it was instilled within...
It's Briarcrest Baptist School back in those
days. It was, actually. Yes, it was. And you know what? We sang Dixie in the morning. We pledged allegiance, and we sang Dixie at Briarcrest. Now, you wouldn't... I mean, now they are just as much in the tank to hate their ancestors and hate Jesus Christ.
Well, just like the Southern Baptist Convention.
Well, it was a Southern Baptist school. It was a Southern Baptist school. It was Briarcrest Baptist School. And the only kind of Baptist church in the South back in the 80s when I was going there in the early 90s was a Southern Baptist school. And so it was a Southern Baptist church school.
And see what they're doing. You see what they're doing. I remember for a long time, you and Eddie both thought that the Southern Baptists were going to be the faithful remnant.
You say that every week. I said they were better than what we had. And the people still are. But
I told you at the time, I said, James, you really think the devil will forget about your church? And I was proven right. The Citadel has fallen officially now. Basically, we have to return to the catacombs. They had home schooling. Now we need to be considering home churching.
Well, let's give it a little more. Yeah, that's right. Homeschooling and home churching. The church, the real church of Christ, the Christian church, is going to have to go underground. And that's the way it was when it first came to being, right after
the catacombs back in the days.
Well,
the
original Christians, the founding fathers of Christianity, were all underground. I mean, you know, obviously at the time of Christ. Anyway, but a couple of more bits of good news, very very quickly here in Tennessee, with all of this white hatred that we see going on across the country in the Western world right now. I have to salute the state of Tennessee. The good people in the Tennessee legislature, actually, in the midst of all of this upheaval, voted against removing the Nathan Bedford Forrest bust that has stood for so long.
Of course, that's because the left has reinvigorated that movement. You know, they're like the devil. The left is like the devil. They're never discouraged and they never sleep. 43 times the hate crime law legislation that is now in effect came up before the U.S. Congress, and 43 times it was voted down. It was voted in on the 44th try, and guess what? There's no reverse on the vehicle of state. So consequently, once they get a change, it's there forever. They're trying to do the same thing in Mississippi. They had a referendum on one of the local news stations here in Memphis about changing the Mississippi state flag that has the rebel flag in the upper left-hand corner of it. And, of course, they never give up. They're going to get all of these changes in there. And the ultimate change is going to be a death warrant for all white people.
Be that as it may, and it may, and they're bringing down statues of Christopher Columbus, King Leopold in Europe. I mean, every white man that ever existed, the lawlessness has reached pure savagery. But I have to commend the Tennessee legislature for voting this down in pretty remarkable fashion. It was actually a subcommittee, voted 11-5, so it wasn't that close, to keep the hero of our people, the hero of Tennesseans, General Nathan Bedford Forrest.
And what this shows to us, though, is that you can never win an argument with a leftist. They're always going to come back. And what we need to do is turn it back around. We need to change back some of these things that they've changed on us.
And, of course, well, that's right. Our monuments can be rebuilt and restored. President Trump this week also said he wouldn't even consider renaming the military installations named after Confederate heroes. We'll be right back with Mark Weber.
But don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.